And welcome back to The Power of Now, a guide to spiritual enlightenment with Gilda and Barbara. Today we're doing a book study on A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose, written by Eckhart Tolle. And we hope that you have your copy so that you can follow along. Today we are on Chapter 3, Section 13, The Core of Ego, Ego, and Fame. My name is Barbara Wainwright, and I'm here with Gilda Simonet. Welcome, Gilda.
Thank you.
Ego and Fame. The well-known phenomena of name-dropping, the casual mention of who you know, is part of ego's strategy of gaining a superior identity in the eyes of others, and therefore in its own eyes through association with someone important. The bane of being famous in this world is that who you are becomes totally obscured by a collective mental image. Most people you meet want to enhance their identity, the mental image of who they are, through association with you. They themselves may not know that they are not interested in you at all, but only strengthening their ultimately fictitious sense of self. They believe that through you, they can be more. They are looking to complete themselves through you, or rather, through a mental image they have of you as a famous person, a larger-than-life collective conceptual identity.
The absurd overvaluation of fame is just one of the many manifestations of egoic madness in our world. Some famous people fall into the same error and identify with the collective fiction, the image people and the media have created of them, and they begin to actually see themselves as superior to ordinary mortals. As a result, they become more and more alienated from themselves and others, more and more unhappy, more and more dependent on their continuing popularity, surrounded only by people who feed their inflated self-image. They become incapable of genuine relationships.
There's a word for that, for the people that surround them and feed on their inflated self-image. It's called a sycophant. Have you heard of that?
I have.
Yeah. Someone who worships a famous person, even though there's really not that much value there, it's all inflated ego. They are called a sycophant. It just makes me think about that person that worships someone else because they have become famous. And I don't think he's talking about everyone that has become famous, because if you think about it, Eckhart Tolle is pretty darn famous. However, he is also very humble. So I think he's really referring to people that have become famous, and it's that collective mental image projecting this person into the stratosphere, when in actuality, they're simply a spiritual being having a human experience. And with their fame, and that collective mental image that everyone has of them, you can't possibly know who they truly are. Reminds me of that saying that you never know what's going on behind closed doors. Because when relationships fail, everything might look good on the outside, but on the inside, you don't know what's happening behind those closed doors. The ego is a trap, that is for sure. Albert Einstein, who was admired as almost superhuman, and whose fate it was to become one of the most famous people on the planet, never identified with the image the collective mind had created of him. He remained humble, egoless. In fact, he spoke of a grotesque contradiction between what people consider to be my achievements and abilities and the reality of who I am and what I am capable of.
This is why it's hard for a famous person to be in a genuine relationship with others. A genuine relationship is one that is not dominated by the ego with its image-making and self-seeking. In a genuine relationship, there is an outward flow of open, alert attention toward the other person in which there is no wanting whatsoever. That alert attention is presence. It is a prerequisite for any authentic relationship. The ego always either wants something, or if it believes there is nothing to get from the other, it is in a state of utter indifference. It doesn't care about you. And so, the three predominant states of egoic relationship are wanting, thwarted wanting, anger, resentment, blaming, complaining, and indifference.
Very interesting. And so if I was a psychologist and I was evaluating that last sentence, I'd say it sounds a little bit like a narcissist.
Yeah, it does. Not even just a little bit.
I'm not a psychologist, so I don't know if that's true. But man, if you want something from somebody and you're not getting it, I guess that's all ego. If you get frustrated about it, if you get resentful about it.
That's when they turn and like cut you at the knees and they start blaming and complaining and making you feel bad about yourself because you're not reflecting back to them like the image that they have of themselves.
Dang, you nailed it. The ego always wants something. So if there's nothing to get from that person, place, or thing, then there's utter indifference. This is just so true. I've been in relationships where it's been all about what they can get from me. And it's rough because you can never give enough. In fact, it reminds me of that story. I think it's Shel Silverstein, I think is who wrote it. I'm not sure if I got that right, but it was called The Giving Tree. And in the beginning, the giving tree was a beautiful apple tree providing fruit and shade. And in the end, the giving tree had given everything to people and ended up being a stump. It had nothing left to give. And that's what I think happens when you have a lot of ego in a relationship. It becomes very one-sided, where one person is in their ego being the martyr and giving and giving and giving. That might have been me. And the other person is in their ego wanting and taking as much as they can get until the giver becomes a stump and has nothing left to give. And then the taker moves on to the next giver.
That's so true. Like, you didn't even exist. Like, you didn't just give them all this energy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then he says right after that, ego doesn't care about you. my gosh.
It's true.
You know, that's what he says. Egoic relationships are the cause of anger, resentment, blaming, and complaining, and indifference, and, you know, wanting something and not being able to get it because you're wanting something from somebody else, or feeding that egoic desire and then being left with nothing but a stump.
That's sad.
It is sad. And I think that there are a lot of people, especially spiritual people, I'll say, that are kind, compassionate, they're givers, they want to help heal people, they want to help lift people up, and they get taken advantage of by the ego-driven taker that says, yahoo, and just latches on and takes them for all they got. And then that leaves people that are the givers wondering what the heck happened. I'll just say that's been true for me in my life. I was like, what just happened? It's debilitating, but you can recover from that by nurturing yourself, number one. And number two, become very conscious and very aware of who it is that you allow into your inner circle. And when you do allow someone into your inner circle, make sure that their words and the things that they say are congruent and in alignment with the things that they do. Because I've found that some people are really good about talking about things, and this might be the egoic driven people that are takers. They're really good about talking about what they are going to do and how great it's going to be and all those things. But when it comes down to actually getting it done, it doesn't happen.
That's true. That reminds me of like future faking. I think that's what that's called in some instances.
I've never heard that term before, future faking.
Yes.
I love that. That is so accurate.
Yeah, it's not fun to be on the other end of it, though.
Definitely not. Definitely not. And it's a shame because those of us that are givers and want to lift up others, I guess the whole thing comes down to a discernment, being very discerning on who it is that you are letting into your inner circle.
So true. My circle is very, very small.
Mine too. Mine too. But you know what I do like? I really like our Facebook group. The people in there seem to be, I'll say, kind and have compassion. And a lot of them have been through a lot. And they're still on a spiritual path looking for answers, which is not an ego-driven quest.
It's so true. And I love how when someone has a question about something, there's always someone there to help answer it or, you know, dig deeper or maybe offer more information.
Yes. Yeah, I love that too. The responses are from the heart. Well, that's the end of this episode. I hope you found some value here. We'd love to have you join our Facebook group and leave comments there, and we can certainly respond and hopefully, you know, provide value, lift you up, and have you feel good about who you are being here. Until next week, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. If you've enjoyed this podcast and you'd like to go deeper into a spiritual conversation, you can join our Facebook group, The Power of Now, A Guide to Spiritual Enlightenment with Gilda and Barbara. Or you can contribute by going to WainwrightGlobal.com/go/support.